Again, and I'm just going to continue my lesson or whatever. And we started in Sunday school, and but I want to talk to you about, you know, last week we talked about how to stand and what to do, and in this world where there's all kinds of problems. And there's all kinds of suffering and all kinds of rebellion, and people don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want nothing to do with the Lord. And so what was we to do? Well, we gave you a few things: preach the word, stand. But I want you to notice in Ephesians, and I want to talk to you about what Paul says about the evil day. Notice what he says in verse 13 again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I'm not going to go into all the armor. I want to talk to you about evil. I want to talk to you about this world that we're living in. And a lot of Christians suffer, and we're not exempt from suffering. We're human, and we're going to feel pain. Things is not going to go the way we want them to go, there are forces at work to hinder us because, like I said in Sunday school, there's forces out there that they get upset at you as a member of the body of Christ because you're going to take their positions one of these days out there and rule and reign with Christ, and they know it. And so we live in what is called the evil day. Now, I looked up that word evil, and I've been studying about evil for a long time. And all sin, all evil is sin. Let me put it that way. But all sin is not evil. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's what? Sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. Though you covet, that's a breaking of the law. That'd be sin. But that wouldn't necessarily be evil. And so I began to study about this. There's two kinds of evil in the Bible. There's a natural evil and there's a moral evil. And the moral evil comes about because of the natural evil. But both evils have one thing in common: pain. Yeah, pain. And so I went and looked up an old Webster's dictionary. Now, the word evil, it has the qualities which tend to injure, hurt, injure somebody. It produces sorrow, distress, or injury, whether it's physical or mentally. Pain, that's evil. Whatever causes, natural is anything which produces pain or injury to a person. Now, ain't that something? And so, we say, that could be anything. Don't matter. It's evil. If it's words coming out of people's mouth, then the Bible talks about evil communications. That hurts people, that causes somebody to have pain, that's evil speaking. Whether it's mentally or physically, it produces evil. Now, that's a broad area. I want you to notice, he says, the evil day. So we're living in verse 13, we're living in what is called the evil day, where it's pain, and we're going to have pain. It might be mentally, it might be physically, but it's going to, we're living in that day where we're going to suffer. And we're going to suffer. And the suffering's going to get worse and worse till the Lord comes. And folks, I look at this world, and it's almost like I see it crumbling around us. The things that made this country great are being eroded, and it's crumbling around us. And I believe before the Lord comes, and I hope I'm wrong, I hope He comes today, but if the Lord doesn't come soon, we're going to see an attack against Christian, I'm talking about Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing members of the body of Christ like you've never seen before. Evil days, days of hurt. Look back with me in chapter 5 of Ephesians. In chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Just don't go, walk looking around, knowing what's around you, knowing what's going on around you. Just don't stick your head in the sand and say it ain't going to happen. You look around you. You walk circumspectly. You look around, see what's going on, and you walk in this world as wise, not as a fool. And look what he said, redeeming the time, buying up the time, using your time wisely. Why? Because the days are evil. They're hurtful, and there's pain coming. We live in evil days. We live in the evil day. We live in a time where there's evil men out to hurt you. Look with me in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice he's got two verses. Verse 12 talks about your suffering. In verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Going to suffer persecution. We live in an age of rebellion against God and His Bible. People, it's a spirit of rebellion out there. A lot of young people rebel against authority. They wasn't raised to have respect. And so their mom and their daddy didn't teach them to respect and have respect for authority. And when they get older, they have no respect for their authority. And this evil world has made it so you can't chastise your children. The Bible said, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. And so they took the discipline out of the homes. They took the discipline out of the schools. And you know who that leaves to discipline the children? The law. And then they're not raised to respect their elders. They're not raised to respect the authority of God Almighty's Word. And we live in an age of rebellion today. People need the Lord. You know that? Look what he said, and they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know these evil men, go back to verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The power thereof would be the gospel. They have a form of Christianity. They're like what Jesus said. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, what's a sheep's clothing? I mean, what do you mean? They look like the sheep. They come, they're tares. They come, and they come to church. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. They don't care about God. They don't care about this book. They just come for their own purpose or whatever, or call somebody else. And inwardly, they're ravening wolves. People. They got a form of godliness. For this sort they are which creep in the houses, led captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now watch it. Ever learning, never able to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The truth in the past, into the gospel of Christ. And godliness. Never, ever able to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God would have you to know what He's doing today, what He expects of you today. But they're never able to come. But they've got their DDs and their PhDs and all of the THDs and all of those other things, and they're out there and the world looks at them and marvels at them, and they're in awe of them, and they're great orators, but they never preach the gospel of Christ to people. They never stand. What are they doing? They're evil. Now I'll tell you something. Any man that will deliberately preach another gospel other than the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and all you need to do is trust Christ as your personal Savior, if a man preaches any other thing than that, that's an evil man. Why? He's going to bring hurt to his people. He's going to cause hurt to them. He is deceiving them. Evil men deceive people and they preach false gospels. Well, look what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1. And the world is full of them. And people are trying to get to heaven any other way. Just the other week a man told me, no good deed goes unrewarded. Doing the best I can, and if that ain't good enough, then there ain't nothing I can do. Or there's something. Yes, there is something you can do. What is it? You can believe you're an old sinner and you can't do nothing good and trust Christ that He done it for you. As one time a man wanted to know about Christ, you know what happened. He stood before the Lord and he said, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And the man said, well, there'd be nothing I could say. Well, bless your heart, there'd be something that I'd say. I'd say, Lord, you said if I'd trust you and believe on your Son, you'd give me eternal life. You said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You said that I could have life if I had your Son. I've received your Son. I believe He died for me on the cross. Yeah, there'd be a lot that I could say. God Almighty. But there's evil men out there. And they're bringing hurt to the people. Look what Paul said in Galatians 1. He said in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, would pervert, change the gospel of Christ. You know that word pervert? That's an interesting word. Look back in Acts chapter 2 and notice how the Holy Spirit translated the same word in Acts chapter 2, notice in verse 20. In verse 20 he said, the sun shall be turned in the darkness and the moon in the blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. The word turn is the same word as pervert. They turn something. Come over to, let's try Jude, the little book of Jude. Right before you get to Revelation. Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a work of the flesh. And it's evil. If they're preaching another gospel, Paul said in Galatians there in verse 1:8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? But that's what God thinks about this world and men preaching different gospels. There's only one gospel that can bring light to you. And it's not how good you are. It's whether or not somewhere in your lifetime, somewhere, you, as a sinner, seeing yourself lost without God, seeing yourself going to hell, seeing yourself as no way, I'm a sinner and I want to be saved more than anything else. Seeing yourself and in that condition, you ask the Lord to save you. You might not know the date, D-A-T-E, but bless your heart, you'll know the day that you did that. Folks, I was one of the most miserable men on the face of this planet. Every week was just a turmoil inside. I'm lost. Oh. I'd go and talk to the preacher. I believe I'm lost. Oh, no, that's the devil doing that. Oh, you're saved. You know you're saved. You've had prayers answered. Well, you're saved. People say, oh, Brian, I've seen the Lord on you. Oh, Brian, if you wasn't saved, you couldn't do what you done. And I lived to try to live a life that was cleaner than a hound's tooth. I mean, folks, I was to the point that it was wrong to sneeze without thinking and wrong sin. I mean, everything was sin. I was trying to get to heaven on trying not to sin. Miserable. Till that night in that hotel room, and I said, Lord, I junk it all. I'm a lost sinner. And it's not my goodness. It's what you did. And what you did ain't enough. It ain't enough. I didn't live no better than I was living. And that didn't bring peace to me. I didn't have a child. I mean, folks said, I was out of everything. But your goodness is not. You can't do nothing with that nature that you got. I've used the illustration many times. You're out here and there's a big old apple tree. And there are apples on that tree. But they're not ripe. They're green. And you're out there and you're pulling them apples. And somebody comes along and says, what are you doing, Brian? Getting rid of these apples. Why are you doing that? I want to kill the tree. So I pull all of the apples off the tree. You reckon that kills the tree? It didn't affect the tree. I just got rid of the fruit. That's what religion wants you to do. They want you to get the fruit of the flesh. But see, you can get rid of the fruit of the flesh. You can stop drinking, smoking, playing cards, dancing, going to movies. You can stop everything that everybody calls sin. You can quit everything. You can quit drinking coffee because it's got caffeine in it. I mean, you can get your long sleeves on and you can do all of the things that religion wants you to do and still be lost and end up in hell. Why? You ain't killed a tree. You just got rid of the fruit of the tree. Well, what are you going to do with that? Well, the Bible said that God, now watch it, made him to be what? See that sin? Singular. And the Bible says that Christ died for what? Our sins, plural. You see, he became our sin nature that produces the sins. He became all of that for you and died for you to pay for your sins. So what am I to do? Trust Christ and what he did for me. This is an evil world. That's the gospel. But there are evil there, seducers, as they waxing worse and worse, deceiving people and being deceived themselves. Religion blinds the minds of people. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Well, what hides it? Now think, what's hiding the gospel today? Why can't men see the gospel? Look one verse 4. In whom? Those that are lost. In whom? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which what? Believe not. Well, had they believed, would the gospel be hid to them? No. But they believe not. Why don't they believe? Because it's too simple. It's got to be more to it than that. Well, my preacher says we got to believe that and be baptized. And they add to the gospel, which turns it and perverts it and to another gospel, but it's not another. And deceives people. Folks, if you believe that you've got to do something other than the fact, trust Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him right now. If you haven't never done it, you can do it right now where you sit while I'm preaching. Just receive Him. Well, He died for me. I receive You, Lord. You're my Savior. Do it now. Simple as that. Believe it. But evil men don't want you to believe that. Why? Well, they got to control you. They don't want you free. They don't know that. But the God of this world does it. Well, why does He do it? He said, believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That Philippian jailer said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, I don't like that. That's shallow believism. Ain't nothing shallow about it. God had to deliver His Son up, put Him through hell on earth, had Him beat to a pulp, and then turned His back upon Him, and He literally died. Do you think that's shallow? Salvation's free to you, but it sure did cost God something. Evil men. We live in an evil world. Look back in Galatians. We live in a hurtful world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. We live in an evil world. We live in a time of evil works. Look with me in 2 Timothy. Hurtful works. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, what's the evil work? He said back in there in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much what? Evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. People that reject the message of grace, they reject the Paul, they reject the Word of God, rightly divided, that's evil works. When they withstand Paul, they're doing him evil. And they'll do you evil if you preach his message. Evil works. Look with me in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 12. Well, let's read verse 11. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain. I wouldn't call Cain loving his brother, would you? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because of his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. What did Cain do? He brought a sacrifice. Abel brought the right sacrifice. His work of bringing the lamb was righteous. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, and he worked that ground. He tilled that ground, and he planted a garden, and he brought of his own labor to the Lord, and the Lord said that was evil. Now I want to tell you, if you try to get to heaven any other way and try to be acceptable to God any other way than the way God said to be, that's evil. If you're trying to be righteous now and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, what you're doing to gain God's favor is an evil work. And religion is evil. There's churches on every corner. And they're going down, they're bound before some statue, they're bound before some picture, and they're praying to a god of their own imagination, and they're praying to a female in heaven, and on the thing goes, it's evil! And it's blinding men, and it's hurting men. Why? How's it going to hurt them? Because it's keeping them from hearing the truth and the gospel that'll bring eternal life, and they're going to end up in hell because of it. And yet, what can you do? Look in Hebrews chapter 3. Not only if you're trying to gain God's favor through your own works is evil. Hebrews chapter 3, notice what he says in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do you know something? If you don't believe the gospel, what I preach to you, you have an evil heart. You're evil. You have an evil heart of unbelief. You say, well, you think you're right? No, I don't think I'm right. I just read what this book is right. And I can read sixth grade English. And it means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. And he said to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he said that Christ Jesus, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. Well, all I know, the only way I can get saved is by preaching. I believe in the gospel, and when I believe the gospel, he said he'd give me eternal life. Bless your heart, yeah, I believe I'm right. But this world is unbelief. What are we to do? We're to abhor that which is evil. Abhor it means to detest it, despise, or reject it. Romans chapter 12 says, abhor that which is evil. Verse 9. You don't have to turn there. I'll just give it. You can write them down. We're not only to abhor it. That's why I get so upset. That's why I detest religion. Religion's leading people astray. They tell, you know something, they're adding to the gospel. Well, you got to believe that and do something else. When the Bible says we're complete in Christ, when the Bible says that His righteousness is imputed to our, put to our account, when the Bible says we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and all things that Christ has, we have. When the Bible says I'm righteous, I'm justified by faith through His blood, I have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. When the Bible tells me that I am in the Son, and God sees me in His Son, and He sees me the way He sees Christ. And yet religion tries another way. Religion says, I don't believe that. Yeah, I detest it. I reject it. Then the Bible says we ought to abstain. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says abstain from all appearance of evil. What does that mean? That means to refrain from it, forbear from being a part of it. Do you know what God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? He said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Say, well, I'm received in Christ. Yes, you are. If you trusted Christ, you are in Christ. But your works won't be received of Him. You're separate from this world system, from the religious system, damning and blinding men, and keeping people from seeing the truth of this Bible. We're to abhor it. We're to abstain from it. And the last thing, we're to adhere to the doctrine that's according to godliness. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, and I want to deal with that, and I'm going to let you go. And don't get spoiled now, because you might get out a little early. And if I think you're going to rejoice too much because I'm going to let you go, I'll preach a little longer. No, I'm just kidding. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look in verse 3. 1 Timothy 6, 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Watch what this man is. He is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, produces evil. Hurt. It hurts people. Now the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3, look in 2 Corinthians, hang on to Timothy, and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. What about them words? Is them the red letter edition? So we should run out and get us a red letter edition? Now, if you've got a red letter edition, I'm not saying anything wrong with it. That's fine. I got, you know, sometimes you can't buy none but red letter editions. Red letter means the words of Christ is wrote in red. It's sort of, I try not to use it. Why? I believe that Romans through Philemon are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, 1 Corinthians chapter, what did I tell you? Did I say first or second? Well, I can't read it in first, can I? Let me get there. Chapter 13. Let's see if I will. Well, I still ain't got it. No, go back to 1 Corinthians. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Lord had to correct me there. Now, he didn't speak to me. It just comes to my mind. I was in the wrong book. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto him are the commandments of the Lord. Well, the things Paul wrote, or were they the commandments of the Lord? Huh? They sure was. They were the words of the Lord Jesus. Now look at this thing. To adhere to the doctrine is to stick to. It means to cling to. To be joined as one. Oh, isn't that something? We're talking about the doctrine that was delivered to Paul. How am I to get away from the evil? How do I know, have to know, how do I know what is evil? What will bring hurt to people? What will bring agony to people? I got to stick to Paul's message. I got to acknowledge that the things that he wrote are the commandments of the Lord for the members of the body of Christ. I must do what he said, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. All this Bible's for me. It's all for my learning, for my admonition, but bless your heart, it's not all to me as a member of the body of Christ. And you can't follow it all. And you're lying if you say you do, and I'm prove it. I don't want to. I hope there's nobody here that thinks that. You don't do the things in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Why, he said in Matthew 6, he said, if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. Now tell me something. Is that Colossians chapter 2 where he said, having forgiven you of all trespasses? Your forgiveness today as a member of the body of Christ is not based upon you forgiving anybody of anything. It's based upon your belief. We are joined. We are embraced. It. Look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Paul telling Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The word hold that is to embrace it like you mothers embrace that little baby, that child that you carry. You embrace it, you hold it, you keep it from falling. Why? You don't hurt to come to it. That's hope. Paul says, Timothy, you hold fast the form of sound words. You embrace them sound words. You be joined to them sound words. You become one with them sound words. Look what he said back in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Just turn the page back in verse 20. Old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust and avoid profane and vain babblings in opposition of science, falsely so called. Don't worry about science and don't worry about vain babblings and all of this. You worry, you keep that which was committed to thy trust. What was committed to Timothy's trust? It was the doctrine that God gave to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote down the commandments of the Lord. And if any man think himself to be spiritual, he must acknowledge that the things that Paul wrote were the commandments of the Lord. We'll embrace them. Look with me in First Timothy, in chapter 4. Notice in verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's religion, that's people being blinded and by evil men and seducers is waxing worse and worse. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, play acting, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It doesn't bother them no more to do that. It doesn't bother them to preach that way. And they sit in there and they preach sermons like how to be a better you. And there's good in all of us. When the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And the only way to be a better you is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be in Christ. But look what he says in verse 15. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, and thy profiting may appear to all. Now watch it. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, the doctrine. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Why, Timothy was a saved man when Paul wrote to him. What's he talking about? Going to save yourself and your congregation. He's talking about continuing in the doctrine. It'll save his congregation and himself from the apostasy of verse 1. The Spirit speaketh now expressly that in the latter times many shall depart from the faith. You want to know what would keep people from departing from the faith? What's going to save them from going into apostasy and departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits? It's the doctrine of Paul. And in Acts chapter 27, Paul says on a boat, and I'm not going to turn there and read it, but in verse 31, the boat was flying apart. The winds and that storm, and even it was some kind of a storm. I mean, God even wrote down the name of Euroctin. And they got caught in that thing, and the ship flying apart. And old Paul said, there's an angel stood by me. We're going to make it. We're going to be saved. All of a sudden, the boards start busting off, and they're throwing things overboard, and it's caught between the rocks and everything. And the men, they start to jump out of the ship. You know what Paul said? Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. You know what's wrong with the church today? We've jumped ship from the Apostle Paul, and we're in apostasy today, and people don't even know the knowledge of the truth, let alone come to it. Except you abide. But what am I to do? Well, I'm the hoary. I'm to abstain it. Have nothing to do with it. And I'm to adhere to the doctrine that'll keep me from evil. God bless you. Shake hands with one another. You're at liberty to go.